Brothers and sisters, we'd like to welcome Sheikh Bahmanpour, who inshallah will be beginning his series on Karbala, a battle for Ta'wil. Muhammad wa ala Muhammad salawat. Sheikh Bahmanpour has studied sociology at LSE and has acquired an MA in the subject from Tabatabai University, Tehran. He has also studied in Qom and is presently the Director of Islamic Studies at the Islamic College for Advanced Studies. Salawat.
Yeah. I will adjust this. That's fine. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بالحسين عليه السلام. As you know, the title of my topic for these 10 nights that inshallah will gather here is Karbala, the battle for Ta'wil. And I will try in this series to somehow look at the whole event from a perspective which gives us a comprehensive understanding, inshallah, why this happened. Of course, the event was a stigma on the face of Muslim Ummah. And I don't think anyone in the Muslim Ummah, any scholar, no matter what faith they subscribe to, what school of faith they subscribe to, they are shameful of what happened. No one would condone what happened to the grandson of the Prophet. It is something like what happened to Banu Israel when they killed the prophets, and the Quran condemns them for what they did. And of course, we also deserve to be condemned for what happened in the history, killing the grandson of the prophets, about whom no one ever disputed it with respect to his honorable stance. He was the most honorable Muslim at his own time. And I don't think anyone disputed that. Of course, we may dispute about his imamah, whether he was an imam or not. This is something that Shias and Sunnis divide about on it. However, about the fact that he was the most honorable Muslim in his time, no one has any disputes. And no one ever says that Imam Hussein alayhi salam deserved to receive that type of treatment that he received from Muslims from Kufa and Damascus and other places. The reason why this happened, only after 50 years, when the Prophet, peace be on him, had passed away and had left the community to themselves, why it happened so soon, and why Muslims were somehow deceived into this sort of attitude that they felt they could actually kill the grandson of the Prophet. And even if he was not the grandson of the Prophet, the most honorable Muslim at their time, without being punished or receiving any reprimand from anyone, why this happened to Muslim community, this is what I want to discuss. And all this goes back to Ta'wil, which I will explain the meaning, and of course, the battle for Ta'wil. Before that, because we are on the first night of Muharram, and tomorrow actually is the first day of the lunar year. Muharram is the first month of the year, the lunar year. There are some a'mal for it, which I would like to mention very quickly from Mafatihul Janan. First of all, Sheikh Abbas Qummi Rahmatullah Alay reports a hadith from Imam al-Riza alayhi salam. Imam alayhi salam said, "Kana Abi salawatullah alayhi idha dakhala shahrul Muharram lam yura dhahika." My father, Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, whenever the month of Muharram arrived, no one could see him laughing. وكانت كآبة تغلب عليه حتى يمضي منه عشرة أيام. And a sort of gloom covered his face for the first 10 days. And before that 10 days, this gloom didn't go away from his face. فَإِذَا كَانَ الْيَوْمُ الْعَاشِرُ كَانَ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ يَوْمُ مُصِيبَتِهِ. When the 10th day came, that day was the day of his grief and sadness. وَحُزْنِهِ وَبُكَاهِ and crying. وَيَقُولُ هَذَا الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي قُتِلَ فِيهِ الْحُسَيْنِ. And he used to say that this is the day when Hussein was killed. So this habit of, or manner of crying for Hussein alayhi salam was something that A'imma alayhi salam used to do as well. Now between Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam and Imam Hussein alayhi salam was more than 100 years time. But still the grief was there, the sadness. And it was not something only related to the family ties or family relations. It was something related to faith, most certainly. Now, there are certain salats that are recommended to perform on this night. That's tonight. Maybe some of you have already performed that. The easiest, I don't go through all these salat, but the easiest is two rak'ah. In each rak'ah, you do one hamd and 11 times tawheed. So that's very easy. In 5-6 minutes, this salat could be done. And there is lots of merits mentioned for this salat from the Prophet, peace be on him. Because this is the first night of the year, actually. So the Prophet is reported to have said that whoever performs this salat and, of course, fast on the first day of Muharram, which is the first day of the year, the lunar year, he will be like someone who continuously is on khair. So this is a very easy ibadah that inshallah all of us can do. And the fast of the first day of Muharram is very much recommended. And actually the fast of the first 9 days of Muharram are very much recommended. And it's reported from Shaykh At-Tusi alayhi salam that the first 9 days fast is good. And the 10th day, of course, you know, the Shias regard it as makruh to fast on the day of Ashura. So these were just a few hints about the a'mal of tonight and tomorrow, inshallah. Now, about the main topic, I have chosen one statement by Imam Hussein alayhi salam to be the representative of all his statements why he did not pay allegiance to Hussein, to Yazid. And why he actually started this very, very dangerous and, of course, a sad journey to Mecca and then towards Kufa. You know, Imam Hussein alayhi salam used to live in Medina. After Imam Hassan alayhi salam made the peace treaty in Kufa, they all migrated back to Medina. And they used to live in Medina. They had a treaty, peace treaty with Muawiyah, and in that peace treaty there were several articles which all of them were violated one after another by Muawiyah. However, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, both in their own times, because after the demise of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Hussein was leading the Ahlul Bayt, Banu Hashim for 10 years, and he was honoring the peace treaty. Although Muawiyah was violating all the articles one after another, he was keeping the peace treaty as a pact which he used to honor. Now, after Muawiyah passed away, one of the articles of the peace treaty, as you know, which is very famous, that Muawiyah should not appoint anyone after himself when he passes away, and the issue of khilafah of the community should be decided by the ummah themselves as a shura. This was one of the articles of the peace treaty. Now, Muawiyah violated this as well. Despite that, Imam Hussein alayhi salam didn't want to make any move to say that now that you have violated the peace treaty, we want to fight. Because, of course, the Muslims were not ready for that, not prepared for any sort of move. And, of course, the bloodshed was useless. However, Imam Hussein was forced to move out of Medina and to move, to set out for such a journey, which, of course, led to the confrontation. It is actually summarized in his statement here. When the news of the demise of Muawiyah reached Medina, the ambassador, the messenger who brought the news, gave the orders of Yazid to Walid ibn Utbah, the ruler of the Amir of Medina as well, that he wants the allegiance of Hussein alayhi salam. Of course, he was advised by his father Muawiyah that you will be the Khalif, you will be the Khalifa, the Caliph, but do not seek allegiance from Hussein, because he's not going to give you allegiance. Muawiyah was, of course, clever. Yazid was a sort of wayward boy. He didn't know how to rule. So he disregarded the advice of his father and he said, I want allegiance of Hussein. And of course, Imam was summoned during the night, immediately by Walid ibn Utbah, and he said that Muawiyah has passed away and we need your allegiance for Yazid. And they knew, he and Marwan who were present, they knew that Hussein alayhi salam was not going to pay allegiance to Yazid. But Hussein alayhi salam put it in a very, very beautiful way, making it a statement which finished all the argument. They could not argue with Hussein anymore after Imam Hussein mentioned this statement. The Amir of Medina, Walid ibn Utbah, he was the cousin of Muawiyah. His father, Utbah, was brother of Muawiyah. He was killed in Badr by Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam. Despite that, he respected Hussein very much. And it's very clear, when Marwan told him that we shouldn't let Hussein out of this room, he should pay allegiance or we should kill him, Walid ibn Utbah said, am I going to meet the prophets on the day of resurrection with Hussein's blood on my hand? I'm not going to do this. So the respect of Hussein alayhi salam was even clear for Walid ibn Utbah, whose father was killed by Hussein's father. Very clear. Now, the statement that Imam Hussein made is reported to be like this. Ya Amir, inna ahlu bayt al-nubuwah wa ma'din al-risalah wa mukhtalafu al-mala'ika wa yazid rajulun fasiq sharibu al-khamr qatilu al-nafs al-muharrama mu'linun bil-fisq. وَمِثْلِي لَا يُبَايُعُ مِثْلَهُ. Very clear. That meant that Hussein alayhi salam was never going to give allegiance to Hussein. He said, Ya Amir, we are the house of Nubuwwah. And we are the mine of Risala. From this family it has come. The Risala, the messengership. And we are مُخْتَلَفُ الْمَلَائِكَ. We lived in a house where the angels came to the prophets, brought the revelation. And Yazid is rajulun fasiq. Fasiq is someone who has no respect for faith. He has no respect for faith. Sharibul Kham, it was quite clear for all Muslims that Yazid manifestly, not covertly, manifestly drank wine, alcohol. قاتل النفس المحرمة. He is a murderer. He has killed many Muslims. And he doesn't try to hide this. He is mu'linun bil-fisq. He is not having any respect for any scruples for the articles of faith. And how do you expect that someone like me would give allegiance to someone like him? It's not the question of Yazid. And it's not the question of Hussein alayhi salam. The way he has put it is very beautiful. وَمِثْلِي لَا يُبَايُ مِثْلًا. Someone like me cannot pay allegiance to someone like Yazid. And as I said, had they left Hussein alayhi salam to live in Medina in peace, he wouldn't have made any objection. What they wanted from him was to justify Yazid's rule. Something that he couldn't do. It was a betrayal to the Prophet, peace be on him, wasn't it? Had Hussein paid allegiance to Yazid, he had betrayed the Prophet, he had betrayed the whole message of his grandfather. So he couldn't have paid allegiance to Yazid. So this is how it happened. Now, why? Now, one very big question here is not the question of Yazid and Hussein alayhi salam, as I said. Is the community of the Muslims. What happened to them that they agreed to someone like Yazid to rule them? You may say that they were forced, they were coerced to that. Had they made any objection, they would have been killed. So what? Hadn't they made all those sacrifices at the time of the Prophet, peace be on him? Hadn't they fought with all their souls and lives and property and children for the sake of Islam? Now what happened? Why the Muslims came to this situation? It's a very beautiful book. Unfortunately, it's in Persian and it hasn't been translated into English by Marhum Sayyid Ja'far al-Shahidi. It's called After 50 Years. And he asks this question, what happened? A community like that vibrant, faithful, sacrificing community who were around the prophets just 50 years ago, why they degenerated into such a situation that now with this big territory, they had agreed to someone like Yazid, as Imam Hussein describes him, يَرَجُلٌ فَاسِقٌ شَارِبُ الْخَامْرِ قاتل النفس المحرمة محرمة مؤلن بالفسق. Why had they agreed to this? This is what I call the whole question of ta'wil. You know, when we want to do things, we try to justify it. Weren't all these Muslims reciting the Quran, reading the Quran? They were. Weren't they familiar with the concepts, ideas taught by the Quran? They were. The question was the way they understood it and the way they interpreted it. This is the question of ta'wil. Now, you all know in the whole event of Karbala, the two armies were both Muslims. They were all praying. As Imam Hussein prayed in his own camp, Umar ibn Sa'd and his soldiers, they prayed in their own camps. So they were all Muslims. They actually were saying that Hussein has rebelled against the caliph. So he is a rebellion. He's Khariji. He's a rebellion. So they had their own ta'wil on the issue. But why this led to such a big distance between the two ta'wil, when with one ta'wil, with one interpretation, people can come out and justify killing the grandson of the Prophet? How this happens? Now, I would like to mention a few hadith about this issue of ta'wil from the Prophet, peace be on him. There are several traditions, both in Sunni and Shia books, that the Prophet said that I fight on Tanzil. Tanzil is revelation. That where I say that Quran is revealed to me, I presented, people either believe or fight me. So I fight on Tanzil. However, those who come after me, they fight on Ta'wil. They don't fight on Tanzil. They don't say, no, we do not accept the Quran. They say, no, we do not accept your understanding of the Quran. We do not accept you are right according to the Quran. This is how it happens, usually. And this is why all these problems exist among Muslims. Of course, all Muslims believe in the same Quran, but they have all these differences. They have fought against each other. They have killed each other. And amazingly, just about 30 years after the Prophet, peace be on him, the companions started to fight against each other with the ta'wil, the way they interpreted the Quran. And that's why when Amirul Mu'mineen sent Abdullah ibn Abbas to argue with the camp of Muawiyah, he told him, do not argue them by Quran, because Quran can take interpretations. Argue them by the Sunnah of the Prophet, because that is something which has taken place. They cannot argue it. The Quran, they can give you any interpretation. And we will see how the Jews used to do this and how Muslims did it. Unfortunately, no book was revealed after the Prophet, peace be on him, to tell us how the Muslims did do ta'wil and tahrif of the Quran. And tahrif, distortion in the Quran, when it's used in the Quran, it doesn't mean changing the words. It means changing the meanings, distorting the meanings. And this is the meaning of tahrif by the Jews. The same tahrif happened in Islam. And the same ta'wil happened in Islam. Now, let us go through these traditions first. There's a tradition in Al-Kafi in which Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam describes the different types of wars. And he says we have five different types of wars, and one of them is As-Saif al-Makfuf, a battle in which there should be restraint. As-Saif al-Makfuf, saif is sword, which is of course a metaphor for battle. A battle which should be in which the sword should be restrained. After the battle is finished, you have to stop immediately the bloodshed. After the fitna is gone, you have to stop immediately the bloodshed. And then he says that when this saif al-makfuf is saifun ala ahl al-baghy wa ta'wil, this is a battle against ahl al-ta'wil, those who make their own interpretations. And then Imam alayhi salam says that when the verse in Surah Hujurat was revealed, وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينِ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا وَإِن بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا عَلَى الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي حَتَّى تَفِيءَ إِلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. If two groups of women fight against each other, you try to make peace between them. However, if one does not listen and wants to transgress and wrong the other, fight them until they come back to the rule of Allah. فَإِن بَغَتْ فَإِن فَاعَتْ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا بِالْعَدْلِ وَأَخْسَتُوا. If they stop, then just make the peace and finish it. You cannot continue the war here. This is a safe al-makfuf. And Imam alayhi salam says, when this verse was revealed, the Prophet, peace be on him, said, إِنَّ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُقَاتِلُ بَعْدِي عَلَى التَّعْوِيلِ كَمَا قَاتَلْتُ عَلَى التَّنْزِيلِ. After me, there will be someone who will fight on ta'wil as I fought on tanzil. Now you know what the difference between ta'wil and tanzil. Tanzil is what is revealed. We don't have anything to with its interpretation or meaning or whatever. This is just fighting to establish it. And then there is a fight about its meaning. That this is the most difficult thing. Fighting on tanzil is easier. It's not easy, but it's easier, because now you know the lines, you know the borders, you know this is kufr, this is iman. They reject it, you fight them. Fighting on ta'wil is very difficult. Why? Because the one who is standing in the opposite camp recites the same verse as you recite, believes in the same Quran as you believe in, but it gives it a different ta'wil, a different interpretation. Now, the question is, okay, what should we do? This is what we will come to later. This is unavoidable. Every faith, look at Christians, look at Jews, look at any other faith, there's always, always a battle on ta'wil after every prophet. فَتَقَطَّوْا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا. This is what the Quran says. After every prophet, they started to divide, to fight against each other. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُمْ. This happened after every prophet. Didn't God know about this? Didn't prophets know about this? Yes, they knew. Why didn't they do anything about it? They did. However, the followers didn't want to take heed. They didn't want to take heed. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ فَاخْتُلِفَ فِيهِ. As soon as we gave Musa the book, there was disagreement about its meaning. Disagreement about its meaning. This is what the prophet here says. إِنَّ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُقَاتِلُ بَعْدِ عَلَى التَّعْوِيلِ كَمَا قَاتَلْتُ عَلَى التَّنْزِيلِ. After me, some of you will fight on ta'wil of the Quran, on its meaning, as I fought on tanzil of the Quran, on its revelation. فَسُئِلَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ مَنْ هُوَ. The prophet was asked, who's this man? Who's this who will fight on ta'wil after you? فَقَالَ خَاسِفُ النَّعَلِ. The one who repairs the shoe, the sandal. Now, in other traditions, it explains why prophet says this. Because they were actually on a journey and prophet's sandal, its rope was torn and Amir al-Mu'min was repairing it. And when Prophet actually had one sandal on and he was walking with one sandal and he was talking to his friends, to his companions, and then when they asked, who is this man? He said, Khasifun Na'al, the one who's repairing the sandal. Ya'ni Amirul Mu'min alayhi salam. Then Imam alayhi salam says, فَقَالَ أَمَّارُ بْنُ يَاسِرُ قاتلت بهذه الراية مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله ثلاثا وهذه الرابعة. Now, apparently, this statement of Ammar is on the Battle of Siffin. He says, I have fought against this banner three times with the Prophet, the banner of Muawiyah. Because Muawiyah was on the other side, in Badr and in Khandaq and in Uhud. And Ammar says, I have fought this banner three times at the time of Muawiyah, at the time of the Prophet. And this is the fourth time I'm fighting against this banner. Now, of course, Muawiyah was not fighting on Tanzil. In Badr and Uhud and Khandaq, Muawiyah was fighting on Tanzil. He didn't want to accept the revelation. He was fighting against Tanzil. Here, Muawiyah is now an insider. He has accepted and is fighting on Ta'wil. And Ammar says that, I have fought against this banner. This is standard. Three times at the time of the Prophet. وَهَذِهِ الرَّابِعَةِ. And this is the fourth time. And he says, وَاللَّهُ لَوْ ضَرَبُونَا حَتَّى يُبَلِّغُوا بِنَا السَّعَفَاتِ مِنْ حَجَرٍ لَعَلِمْنَا إِنَّا عَلَى الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّهُمْ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ. I swear by God. Now this is how Ammar is actually stating, is saying that I am not wavering. Don't think that I'm now afraid that the other party are Muslim and we are Muslim, we are fighting against each other. You know that many Muslims actually distance from this battle. The more, so to say, pious ones, cautious ones, they said, we don't want to involve, and they were called Mu'tazila. Of course, completely different from the Mu'tazila, the theological group. Like Abu Musa Ash'ari, like Rabbi Ibn Khuzaim, they said, we don't want to come in. Muslims fighting against Muslims. We don't want to be involved. Especially Rabbi Ibn Khuzaim came to Amirul Mu'minin and said, Ya Ali, you know I have fought many battles with the Prophet. I don't want to be involved in this battle now. Send me to frontiers. I want to fight against the kuffar, not against the Muslims. And Amirul Mu'min sent him to Khorasan, and he's now buried near Mashhad, isn't it? Khajarabi in Mashhad. Very great man, quite ascetic. People get confused, of course. Now, who has the merits, Rabbi Ibn Khuseym or Ammar Ibn Yasir? Now, he says, I swear by God, if they beat us or made us to retreat, defeat us, until we go to Sa'afat min Hajar. Sa'afat are palm trees or leaves of palm, and Hajar is an area in Yemen, which was very famous for its date. That's the farthest part of Arabian Peninsula. He says, even if you are defeated, even we have to retreat to that area, I know that we are haq and they are batil. Now, these type of people are very rare in such disputes, isn't it? Very rare in such disputes, that they do not waver. The other party is bringing the Quran as the judge, and you don't know what to do. Let's stop bloodshed. Ya Ali, aren't you the companion of the Prophet, the cousin of the Prophet? Aren't you the one who fought all those battles with the Prophet to establish this faith? Now you are fighting against the people who are following this faith. It's very difficult. Very difficult. Fighting on Ta'wil is much, much more difficult than fighting on Tanzil. And here Ammar says, I do not waver. I know that we are on haq. And there's another hadith. Which is again reported from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Which says almost the same thing with the context about the shoe of the Prophet and these things. I don't want to mention this because it would be somehow repeating the previous hadith. However, we have another hadith from... Again, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, in the same vein, it says, "Jaa rajulun ila Aliyyin alayhi salam, wa huwa ala minbar." Amir al-Mu'minin was on the pulpit, on the minbar, and someone came, and a conversation started, and he said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, ata'adhanu li an atakallama bima sami'tu an Ammar ibn Yasir? Do you allow me to mention something that I heard from Ammar ibn Yasir?" Of course, the context of the conversation is lost. We don't know why this came up. The hadith just mentions this part. Do you allow me to report something I heard from Ammar ibn Yasir that he heard from the Prophet, peace be on him? The point was that since Ammar was a sort of signpost for everyone, because the Prophet had said, Ya Ammar, wayha Ammar, taqtuluhu al-fi'atul baghiyah. Ammar will be killed by a transgressor group, by a rebel group. And since this was, the hadith was very famous, no one could deny it. Now both parties tried to actually take this, to interpret this hadith with a different ta'wil. Of course, he was killed while he was fighting against Muawiyah, and when he was killed, everyone in the camp said, in Muawiyah's camp said, well, are we fighting against Ammar? We killed Ammar, and Prophet said, taqtulu fa'atul baghiyah. So we are the fa'atul baghiyah. Amr ibn As said, no, we are not fa'atul baghiyah. We didn't kill him. Ali killed him. He brought him here. He made all this mess. So you see the ta'wil? You see how ta'wil works? It works in this way. So, because of this, different things were said about Ammar. Now, when the man said, do you allow me to report something from Ammar who reports it from the Prophet? He said, اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَىٰ أَمَّارِ إِلَّا مَا قَالَهُ. Fear God and don't say any, don't report anything from Ammar unless what he has really said. The man insisted three times. ثم قال له تكلم. Then Amir al-Mu'min said, okay, say what you want to say. قال سمعت عمارا يقول سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنا أقاتل على التنزيل وعلي يقاتل على التأويل. He said, Ammar reported to me that the Prophet said, I fight on Tanzil, Ali will fight on Ta'wil. And then Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam said, Sadaqa Ammar wa Rabb al-Ka'ba. Inna hadhihi indi lafi alf kalimatin tatba'u kullu kalimatin kulla kalimatin alf kalima. He said, Ammar is right. I swear by the Lord of Ka'ba, this ta'wil that you are talking about is with me. In 1,000 words, each of which is followed by another 1,000 words that he learned from the Prophet. Of course, kalima here means different doors to knowledge. And the whole idea of wiratha of the Prophets, the ones who inherit the Prophets, is about this idea of having the knowledge of ta'wil and fighting on it. Fighting for the correct meaning of faith, for the right interpretation of faith. This is the meaning of ta'wil. Now, another hadith which implies that this wirasa means receiving the knowledge of ta'wil from the Prophet. I will talk about this in more detail, inshallah, tomorrow night. Why Prophet, peace be on him, knew the ta'wil, and how did he teach it to his warith, to his heir. Of course, his heir in the sense of this knowledge of ta'wil. And the ummah cannot be left without this knowledge of ta'wil. They cannot be left without it. And this is the whole argument of the Shia. That you cannot leave the ummah without this knowledge. Otherwise, the ummah will be confused. Now, you may say, okay, the a'imma could not make their point, and especially the imam, the 12th imam, alayhi salam, is absent. What should we do? The answer is that Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has provided us with what he has to provide us. Now, what we do with it, that is then our job. That is our problem, how we treat them. Just like prophets. He sent prophets, people killed them. Just like ni'mah. He gives us ni'mah, we disobey him with it. And he sends these people with knowledge of ta'wil. He establishes them. He places them in their places. And we mistreat them. We don't want them. We don't listen to them. So, here, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This is a hadith which actually Saduq reports from three of his shuyukh. He says, Haddathana Abi wa Muhammad ibn al-Hasan wa Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Attar. All of them report this from Sa'd ibn Abdullah. And with his chain, he says that Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam said, Nahnu warathatul anbiya. We are the heirs of the prophets. Heirs of the prophets, not only our prophet, heirs of the prophets. And then he explains what does he mean by it. What is the meaning of being heir of prophets? He says, Jallala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ala aliyyin alayhi salam thawban thumma allafahu alfa kalama kullu kalimatin yaftahu alfa kalama. He said, the Prophet covered Ali with a dress or blanket or something, and then taught him 1,000 kalima, which from every kalima, 1,000 other kalima was opened. That was the knowledge of ta'wil, the knowledge of the butun, the deeper layers of this book, of the Quran, and what it means. Now, of course, I have to explain, this is on my shoulder, to explain in depth what does ta'wil mean. Because unless we know what does ta'wil mean, we wouldn't know what is the meaning of this wirasa of the prophets. And what is the task of A'imma alayhi salam, and why Hussein alayhi salam, as someone who carried this ta'wil, who was endowed with this ta'wil, could not pay allegiance to Yazid. Inshallah, we'll continue with this tomorrow night, because the interesting thing is that what we believe about Mahdi alayhi salam, according to many traditions, is that he is the man of Ta'wil. He will fight on Ta'wil in the same way that Ali fought on Ta'wil. He wouldn't, of course, fight on Tanzil. Everyone now believe in the Quran. Quran is established. He will fight on Ta'wil, not on Tanzil. Inshallah, we leave this for tomorrow night. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
We now have some time for questions and answers, if there are any questions.
Thank you, Sheikh. You know, when we discuss about the Quran, we say we use the word tafsir. Now here in Hadith as well, there is the word ta'wil. I know you're going to explain in depth what in, but in short, why was the title given ta'wil and not tafsir?
No, tafsir is different. Tafsir is just explaining the words, the meaning of sentences. Ta'wil is how really it, what is really intended by it. That's very different. I mean, you may just state a sentence, but the meaning which is understood from it may be quite different from the meaning that you have in mind, the intended meaning. Ta'wil talks about the intended meaning. Tafsir talks about the apparent meaning.
Any other questions?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you very much indeed for that introduction. It proves to be, inshallah, a very interesting discussion on the events of Karbala. Sheikh, bearing in mind that the interpretations of Ta'wil can be so variant. We just gave the example of Amr ibn As justifying Muawiyah's army's position on killing Ammar, and they obviously believed it and felt that they were in the right through his explanation. So in the absence of our Imam, may Allah hasten his reappearance, we also as Muslims have a responsibility to make sure that the Ta'wil as explained by our Imams is made evident to the Muslims. Bearing in mind how difficult that task is, what's the best things that we can do to make sure that that happens?
Yeah, actually, as you point out, this is a very, very difficult task and is not something that, easily could be done. But I think the best way to go about this is to somehow match the Quran with the Sunnah of the Prophet and the A'immah, because that is an explanation for what is meant by the Quran. You see that, for example, some people say that, okay, we separate Quran from the Sunnah or from the Hadith because Hadith is a probable literature and Quran is a definitive literature. And then we try to understand it the way we understand it without referring in any sense to the Sunnah of the Prophet. This is actually divesting the Quran from its interpreter. That's the Sunnah of the Prophet and A'imma alayhi wasalam. Finding out the right Sunnah of the Prophet is very important. And how people actually interpreted in different ways. Now, I will discuss that not everyone has an evil intention for wrong ta'wil. However, unintentionally they go to that ta'wil. The responsibility is, I think the best way is good research, good conversation, good dialogue, to establish a sort of rational discourse between different groups, or even among ourselves, because we don't need to prove anything to other groups. Even among ourselves, we are confused about the right ta'wil. So I think we don't have an easy way for this. It's all to do with good research, good understanding, and of course good intention. If the good intention is not there, we never can understand.
Thank you, Sheikh. But bearing that in mind, is this ta'wil something that's dynamic? Does it change depending on our experience and our knowledge and an increase in understanding? Or is it something that's a basic truth and that remains constant?
No, actually ta'wil, in one of the meanings that I will mention inshallah later on, is the changing instances of different verses. That the instances change. And this is what Aimah alayhi salam used very much in their ta'wil. For example, saying that this verse refers to us, or this verse refers to that person in certain time, 100 years after the revelation, showing that the dynamic nature of ta'wil, how it may refer to different people at different times and different circumstances. So this is one very important aspect of ta'wil. However, of course, it needs someone with that depth of knowledge to be able to find out.
Any questions from the lady side?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. And my condolences on the death of Imam Hussein in these nights. I have a quick question based on the question that you posed about Ammar bin Yasir and another companion. You said, who then holds the greater merit? Now, from a personal perspective, obviously because I'm Shia, I would obviously say Ammar bin Yasir for, how do I say, backing Imam Ali alayhi salam, even to the extent of wherever the location he gave that he got pushed back to. But what would you say about the other companion from your perspective? Is he as lesser merit than Ammar bin Yasir for wanting to not fight and stand for it with Imam Ali?
Well, the question is a bit difficult because it is geared with some theological issue, and that is the integrity of the Sahaba and the equality of all of them in their merits to a certain degree. However, I don't think anyone doubts. I mean, even the Sunni brothers, they do not doubt about different levels of merit of the Sahaba, as they actually grade them, saying the most merited companion was Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali, then, of course, Al-Asharatul Mubashara, and then others. So there's always this opinion, idea, that not all Sahaba are equal to each other in their merits. This is quite natural, and this is something which every rational mind can understand. Now, my question is, someone who in such difficult times cannot bear the brunt of the difficulties of ta'wil and these fightings, we don't say that he's a bad man. Rabi ibn Khuthaym is a very respected companion of the Prophet. I mean, I go and visit his shrine, and he's very respected. But certainly, this is a blemish in his record history, that he could not find out what is haq and what is batil. It was not only Ali, alayhi salam. You know that in Safin, in the camp of Amirul Mu'mineen, 18,000 companions from Muhajirun and Ansar were fighting against Muawiyah. In the other camp, only 4 or 5 companions were fighting. It was very easy to find out who was right, who was wrong. Not that easy, but I mean, just always having this idea that Muslims against Muslims, I don't want to come in. This is not always the right position to take. That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. I think we'll end there. Muhammad wa al-Muhammad salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.